540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. We're learning more about a deadly Youngstown, Ohio explosion that ripped through a building housing a bank and apartments earlier this week. NTSB board member Tom Chapman says it involved a crew working in the basement area of the building and intentionally cutting a gas line.
The crew was unaware that one of the pipes in the vault was pressurized at the time, nor did the work crew have reason to believe gas was present in the pipe.
They thought it was turned off. One bank employee died and several other people were injured. President Biden says Israel has offered a three-phase proposal which could lead to a permanent ceasefire in Gaza and the release of hostages.
During the 6 weeks of phase one, Israel and Hamas would negotiate the necessary arrangements to get to phase two, which is a permanent end to hostilities.
CBS's Imtiaz Taieb in East Jerusalem reports.
There are factions within Israel's own cabinet, the extreme right-wing members of that cabinet. There are Orthodox parties as well who are going to be very angry to hear that Israel has agreed to the terms of this very broad proposal and indeed is putting it forward to Hamas.
Hamas confirms its readiness to deal positively and in a constructive manner and with any proposal that is based on the permanent ceasefire and full withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza. A day after former President Donald Trump is convicted on state charges in New York of falsifying business records, he says he will appeal. President Biden says no one is above the law. And CBS's Robert Costa spoke with Trump attorney Todd Blanche.
Your client, the former president, called Judge Mershon a devil. Was that advised by his legal team?
I do not advise President Trump on what it should say to the American people. I have not been quiet about our views of Judge Mershon presiding over this case. And look, he heard guilty 34 times in a case that he passionately believes there was no crime. I share that belief. So the idea that he would react with frustration and even anger at what happened, I can't judge him for that, and I won't.
Michelle Traconis is sentenced to 20 years in prison for helping to plan and cover up the killing of Connecticut mother Jennifer Doulos in 2019. But Traconis could be released after more than 14 years. Traconis was convicted of helping her then-boyfriend Fotis Doulos, who authorities believe killed his estranged wife Jennifer. Defense attorney John Schoenhorn says he will appeal Traconis' sentence.
I still believe there was not sufficient evidence presented to prove that Michelle knew anything about what Fotis Doulos was planning with his wife.
ABBA gets a prestigious Swedish knighthood for their pop career. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Progress Pride flag will fly over the Wisconsin State Capitol building for the month of June. In Wisconsin and across the United States, June is LGBTQ+ Pride Month. Governor Tony Evers said in a press conference on Friday that flying the Progress Pride flag is a symbol of his resolve to support the LGBTQ+ community.
Raising the Pride flag above the Wisconsin State Capitol sends a clear, unequivocal, and decisive message that in Wisconsin, all are welcome.
June is also Invasive Species Awareness Month. Visit the DNR website for info on how to hike, camp, fish, and garden in ways that prevent the spread of invasive species. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the White Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a weekend series against the Chicago White Sox, and the Sox not doing well at all. They've lost 8 games in a row. Manager Pedro Grifol calling his players out this week.
We got no hit through 8. We had a pinch hitter break it up. The rest of the guys, not the rest of the guys, most of the guys were flat today. Unacceptable. That's all I got. Flat. Period. Major league game. Got to respect it. Pretty simple.
How do you and the coaching staff treat the guys after that?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Why does that happen?
I'm not going to talk about it.
What do you see about the events?
No adjustments. We didn't make any adjustments to this guy.
The Brewers in first place by 5 games, having won 5 of their last 7. College football, the Badgers announcing yesterday they're going to play 2 of their regular season games on Fridays, the August 30th game against Western Michigan, conflicting with many high school games being played that Friday night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mild night tonight with a mostly cloudy sky, lows in the upper 50s, and mostly cloudy for tomorrow, showers and a few storms and highs in the mid-60s. Partly sunny on Sunday, a high around 70 degrees, more storms likely Sunday night and Monday. Currently, it's 66.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on Monday as we'll take a look back over the weekend and launch our new Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Maybe we'll find a pool boy. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Yes, thank you for all the years of support. We really appreciate that, especially when COVID hit us and our advertisers had to take care of themselves and their families, and really helped when you guys supported us and are supporting us during our time here on the air. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and it's always good to see you. Kind of a somber day right now. Today we have a few things happening in the Twin Cities here in Minneapolis, and hate to start out on a bad note, State Senator, but our condolences are out for the police officer here in the Twin Cities that sounds like was ambushed.
Yeah, it's it was a sad story to read about, and the situation that happened here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis last night when Officer Mitchell was basically aiding somebody who had been shot and then ambushed himself and shot. And, you know, he had a history of being a real humanitarian. Mm-hmm. There's the story about him saving a couple elderly folks from a burning building not so long ago. He had a lot of life left in him. He was recently engaged to be married, so his future was looking bright, and to have it snuffed out like that is always heartbreaking, no matter what. And so our thoughts and our prayers and our condolences go out to the family and the friends and the community that he lived in, the police force that he supported, and you know, we just pray for the day where these kind of things don't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and we always talk over the years about our relatives in the blue. And, you know, over the years, there's been a few bad apples, but 99% are here to serve and protect in a mm-hmm. good way. And we have to give them their just due and really support them, too.
Yeah.
Especially in this time of healing and sacrifice.
Yep. Absolutely. I can't imagine what his family or his fiance is going through at this moment, but thoughts are with them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's kind of overshadows what we're going to talk about in the beginning here, but let's jump into it anyways. Haley and I were celebrating on the air yesterday because the Count Dracula had counted 34, 34 convictions, and we were really happy about that.
One, two, three. Yes. I saw that, and I just had to laugh. I had to send it to some people that I know that appreciate Sesame Street.
Right. Well, you know, there's something to this. I was worried that it would be either a hung jury or an acquittal, and it was great that it happened in only roughly 9-10 hours of deliberation. Mm-hmm. And that told me that, oh, they came up with a verdict. There's no in between. And I guess we're going to have to say, where were you when the former president was convicted of 34 counts?
Yeah. I mean, this is the beginning of, you know, I don't know if it's vindication or accountability is the word, but, you know, this is the beginning of really making him accountable for all of the underhanded, illegal, sneaky things that he's done over the years and got away with time and time again. And it was all of those things that created the person that he is to this day. Certainly unfit to be the president of the United States a few years ago, and certainly even more so now. It just is unfathomable to me, the people that still support him and will, you know, give him a pass for all of the really awful things that he has done and said to people and to all the businesses that he ruined at his own, you know, gain. The people that he destroyed, the people that he used and abused in so many ways. So I hope this is the beginning of an accountability period for him.
Well, I really wish that I got to be thankful for this, but I wish the insurrection trial would have went first, because I don't know, but he's a felon now. He's a twice mm-hmm. he's a twice impeached president. And a felon now. And, you know, I really believe that the news is trying to keep this election close. And we talked about clicks. We talk about views. I really think that we're going to really win big here coming up in November. I really don't believe the polls. I don't think Gen Z is being polled. And they're now the number one elector age group now in the country.
Well, there are a lot. There's also a very strong uncommitted movement. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Gen Z and a lot of folks recognize the fact that we cannot elect Trump for our next president again. But they're also very unhappy with the way the United States is handling the issue over in Gaza. Mm-hmm. So have created this uncommitted. And I'm gonna admit I'm part of that as well. Trying to get that message to the president of the United States that we have to do something about this. This genocide that is happening over there. We cannot continue to support it financially with weapons or not holding the Israeli government responsible for the horrors that are going on over there. And so I think we will see some really strong, uncommitted delegates that are going to be rising up. You know, the Minnesota has their Democrat convention this coming weekend, and I know that there will be a group of uncommitted that will try to, you know, push their agenda and hold things accountable in a way. But I think that's also a movement across the nation as well. And it's not just Gen Z. I mean, it's adults of all ages. I've had so many people reach out to me saying, I'm not comfortable being, you know, an uncommitted because I'm afraid Trump will get elected, but that doesn't, it's not another political party where it would draw those votes away from Biden at the end of the day, but it's a way to make a statement. And I think we'll see more of that as the election gets closer in November and really folks sticking out their necks out saying, we can't just stand by and let this happen without making some kind of noise.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And the convention will be very interesting, and hopefully it doesn't go south like the 1968 convention. but we do need to speak up, and we also need to vote on more than one issue too. But I think it's great that people are bringing up this fact and really being uncommitted. It's not that they're voting for Trump or not voting at all. They're giving a message. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yes. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and Haley Cherry, and we're talking a little bit about the news and the happenings. It's always great to have you here, State Senator, and just kind of chew the fat, you know, and talk about things that are happening. But we're getting to a countdown. We were talking a little bit about this last segment. We're getting close to a countdown here of election season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I and Haley's become, we're news junkies. And I think most of the people out there aren't. So it'll be interesting to get everyone up to speed on what's happening. And we have elections here in Minnesota too.
We do. We have a really important, well, every election cycle is an important cycle because the people that you elect are the people that are going to represent you from school board to city council to county commissioner to state legislator. All of those people at all of those different levels are making decisions that, you know, that impact you, whether it's academics for your kids or your schools or higher ed, the environment around you. the services that the county can provide, our roads, our bridges, our infrastructure, all of those things are always impacted by the people that we elect. And, for the last 2 years, we've had a DFL Democrat trifecta here in Minnesota, and we've been able to do some incredible, incredible work because of that, for like the last 10 years have been stalled. I was listening to an article or a broadcast the other day that said Minnesota is 10 years behind because of lack of investment. If we had continued the investment over the last 10 years, we wouldn't be trying to make up all the work that we're doing. So our state legislators, our House members are up for election, not our senators. I don't have to run for office, but I will be outdoor knocking. So folks, you'll probably see a lot of election literature in their mailboxes. You'll get a lot of door knocks asking for your support and the opportunity for those elected, those people that are running for office to talk about the work that they've done or the work that they want to do for Minnesota. And so I hope folks at home will consider taking the time to educate themselves on the candidates. Our Secretary of State, our State Auditor, some of our congressional people, the folks from D.C. are up for election, a plethora of folks. Please educate yourself and learn about them and really make informed decisions as we go forward to November.
Well, I feel like a dum-dum. I thought Steve Simon and the state auditor were just elected. Are those four-year terms or two-year terms?
I could have sworn those are two-year terms.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not a political junkie.
I should double check that to be sure. But one way you can do it is like you can easily Google who's on my ballot. Mm-hmm. There will be a website that comes up from the Secretary of State, and it'll actually give you a sample ballot. And I'm going to do that right now.
Well, it's interesting while you're doing that. It's interesting that what the other side has brought forth in candidates. I know the candidate that's was not endorsed by the Republicans going against Amy Klobuchar is like some right-wing wacko that has a podcast that sounds like that national guy that was sued for all the wrong things he was talking about with the murders of children, and it was just what is the Republicans thinking here in Minnesota? They are really not organized in a good way.
Mm-hmm. An organization is really all so really important. Just trying to see here.
Yeah. Haley, how many elections have you had, Haley?
Well, let's see. So I graduated high school in 2016, and that was a big election year. I remember that's when Donald Trump was, well, he says he was elected, but that was the one I voted in. And then this past one. So probably just two.
Yeah. Well, I know it's good to hear that, you are voting because you will always vote now. And we talk about that here at Native Roots Radio. If you start out as a young voter, you'll always vote. And it's getting our young ones to vote and some of our elders, too, that have never voted, too, and get that going again. Because I remember the 2016 or was it the 2018 election cycle where up north in Minnesota, they signed up 9,000 new voters up in the reservations up there in northern Minnesota, and that was a game changer for the governor and that whole election cycle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I want to shout out to NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, and Make Voting a Tradition, because they are just constantly going at it. You know, it's not just during election season, but it's all year round, and just want to give them major props for doing all that work.
And I always wish I made that that saying up, voting, make voting a tradition. That would have been a good one.
Yeah. It is good.
It is really good. So, Mary, what has your research found?
I found out, no, they the Secretary of State and the auditor are not up for re-election. It's our president, our U.S. senator and representatives, state representatives, some of our judicial seats. So, like, our native Judge McKeag is up for re-election. And then there could be, in the local area, city officers, school board, township, you know, and then local ballot questions. One thing we did not get completed this session in the Minnesota legislature was a ballot question to go on the 2026 ballot around the Equal Rights Amendment. Did I tell you this? No. It was at the end of session. I mean, like the very last minute, we were going to try to get it in and ran out of time and didn't get that onto the floor. So we'll have to come back next session and start all over again. And hopefully we'll get that through and get it ready to be on our ballot. It's a constitutional amendment. So that means that we have to put it to the voters. So you put it on a ballot and say, should Minnesota have an equal rights amendment that states, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then voters have to vote yes or no. If they don't vote for it, if they just leave it blank, it counts as a no. But that's not on the ballot this year. But hopefully we'll get that ready to go starting next year.
Yeah, we did talk a little bit about that, but I think, State Senator, you were still going through a lot of trauma because we did not hear on Native Roots Radio hear what really went on until we had you on the show because the news was so sketchy and, you know, always trying to play the middle when the middle is not really what happened. So, yeah, I'm still in shock what you went through.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that this happened at midnight, and there are not very many media folks out there with their cameras ready to go, and they were kind of caught off guard. So I remember when it started in the Senate, the yelling and the shouting and the mayhem started in the Senate. The cameras started to appear out of nowhere, and it was just so unexpected that they weren't ready for it. And I think a couple of us still have some PTSD from that for sure.
Well, you guys got together afterwards to talk it through, and that's really good and healthy because my goodness, it's like sometimes my lying eyes, did I really see that or did that really happen? So I commend you guys for doing that.
Yeah, it did happen. And we had no choice. I mean, it's either that or nothing got done. I mean, no health and human services, no transportation, no labor. All of those bills that were being held up would have just gone by the side. And, we're just really devastated that we weren't able to get that final, bonding bill done.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe some really important projects in there to get done.
Well, maybe too, what we can talk about, and I know we don't talk a lot about this, but I think how do you and other lawmakers deal with your mental health during this time? Because this is, I mean, really, Haley and I were like shocked after we had the spot with you last week.
Yeah, I think, think of a lot of us deal with it by just sort of, I think we were a lot stunned and just couldn't quite comprehend what happened. We did, you know, I did meet with some other members. We did caucus and talk about it. A lot of people had different feelings, had different reactions, experienced it differently.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A deadly building explosion in Youngstown, Ohio on Tuesday was caused by a work crew cutting a gas line they thought was turned off. NTSB member Tom Chapman.
There's nothing at this point to indicate that there was anything nefarious about what happened.
all the indications are that it was very much an accident.
A 27-year-old Chase Bank employee died. President Biden urges Hamas to accept Israel's latest hostage deal, saying it would take place in three phases.
It's a roadmap to an enduring ceasefire and the release of all hostages.
Former President Donald Trump calls the trial, during which he has been convicted on all counts of falsifying business documents, rigged and a scam. He says they'll appeal, and CBS's Robert Costas asks Trump attorney Todd Blanche,
is it possible your client could be in jail during the Republican National Convention?
That's something that I don't want to think about. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's possible.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers has appointed three new people to the UW Board of Regents. Tim Nixon, Jack Salzwedel, and Desmond Adongo will replace three regents whose terms expired this May. The Board of Regents creates policies that run the UW system, like setting admission standards and the university budget. Donald Trump has been convicted of 34 felonies. Is this a setback for Trump's presidential campaign? Marquette poll director Charles Franklin tells Civic Media Biden could potentially see a 4-point bump in the polls.
Impeachment didn't move the numbers, and the civil cases didn't move the numbers. This one is a different kettle of fish, but let's wait and see before we assume that there will be big movement in the numbers this time.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Vanna White is not ready to retire just because Pat Sajak is hanging it up after 41 years. Sajak's last episode of Wheel will air June 7th. The 67-year-old White says she never would have thought she would have been at the job for 40 years, but loves that she doesn't play a character, is just herself, and gets to give money away. You could try to find something unlikable about Vanna White, but you would not be successful. Jerry Seinfeld cannot stay out of the news lately, but at least he admits he's not a real man. What? You heard it right. Seinfeld says he misses the days of the 60s, when there was a hierarchy that started with manly men at the top like JFK, Muhammad Ali, and Sean Connery, who, by the way, openly admitted to slapping multiple women. Nice comp, Jer. Seinfeld says he is not a fan of toxic masculinity and admits he never made it to real man status because he became a comedian, which allowed him to remain childish. Yeah, that's why. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mild night tonight with a mostly cloudy sky, lows in the upper 50s, and mostly cloudy for tomorrow, showers and a few storms and highs in the mid-60s. Partly sunny on Sunday, a high around 70 degrees, more storms likely Sunday night and Monday. Currently, it's 66.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Lover's Lane Sushi and Seafood Buffet in Franklin. Just in time for the weekend, Lover's Lane features over 200 mouthwatering lunch and dinner options, including fresh sushi and seafood, hibachi grilled meats, American classics, and decadent desserts. You'll be pleasantly surprised by their quality and variety. Go to waukradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and immediately receive 50% savings on your Big Deals gift certificates. WAUK, Big Deals.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devils FKids radio show. We'll tell you whether or not Trump is fleeing prosecution to a extraditionalist country. Tune in Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. Safe, culturally appropriate support and advocacy 24/7. Learn more at strongheartshelpline.org.
What I really like about Strong Hearts is been able to watch their growth over the 7 years, because they basically kind of started the same time we did here at Native Roots Radio, and been partnering with them for over 7 years. Hey, Haley, before we get going with State Senator Mary Kunis about some other news to talk about, you have some news that's near and dear to your heart.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, too bad the Wolves couldn't bring home or win last night here at home in Minneapolis. But the night before, our professional women's hockey team here in Minnesota, the inaugural season, they took home the Walter Cup, which is pretty much the Stanley Cup, but for us women. So that was huge. And I want to shout out Taylor Heise and Grace Umwinkle, a lot of the former Gopher players and a lot of the girls that grew up here in the state of Minnesota. So congratulations, and way to bring home the cup, the first cup in the state to the state of hockey.
Well, it's exciting. You can only be the first once, and that's great kudos to them. And I can't wait until they have a name that I can wear a t-shirt.
No, I know. It's been heavy on my mind since, you know, I went to the first home game of the season, and I really hope that they take back the North Stars, the name. Ooh. Hopefully we can do that and take that back from Dallas.
You know, that's really interesting you say that, because I believe that that's probably was one of the best sporting names ever.
And yeah,
the Dallas Stars stole it from us. That was one of the best names, the North Star State we were known as. And
mm-hmm. And I see now we have the Dakota Star on our new Minnesota State flag.
That's
so it would
right.
just make sense, you know, bring the North Stars back.
Oh, way yeah. to pull that right together, Haley. That was a good one. Got
the
state senator going too on that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, congratulations. And, you know, Wendy and I watched the Timberwolves, and we're still here, but they're not. So,
yeah. Well,
I'm a baseball fan anyway, so go Twins. So, hey, State Senator, there's some good news to be reported too, and Haley wanted us to bring up some good news, but let's talk about some rights being wrong or some wrongs being right. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this a little while ago mm-hmm. about a noose that had been used to hang one of our Dakota 38 back in the 1800s mm-hmm. is now being returned to the tribe, the Prairie Island. And is it Prairie Island?
That's a great question.
That is a good question, because I thought it was
yes, it is. It's going to be returned to the Prairie Island Indian community. And this is the hanging rope, the hanging noose that had been used to hang one of the 38 plus men in December of 1862. Mm-hmm. And that rope had been taken and hung on to by somebody, and then was finally donated to the Historical Society in 1869. And so the TIPO officer, tribal historic preservation officer that every tribe should have, mm-hmm. Has been working on getting that back to the tribe. And the repatriation of it is really, really significant, because it not only acknowledges the very painful and harmful historic trauma that the tribes went through, but it's also recognizing that these very precious items need to be returned to the community that they were stolen from and be treated with the preciousness and the spiritualness of value of what it represents. And so I'm really excited that that's going to be happening, and really thrilled that I was sort of kept up to date as the process went through, and just heard recently that that's actually going to happen. So that's a
that
good
is
thing.
That is a big deal. And I remember as for my other job doing a tour of the Minnesota Historical Society, and they wanted to know if I wanted to go downstairs, and I had to balk because I didn't want to see what they had in their collection. You know, even when we were young, Mary, I mean, antique stores would have sacred things, whether there were scalps I remember seeing as a kid and things like that, that that no longer are out and about, but they're still out there somewhere.
Yeah, there's it's interesting to learn about the things that people have purchased or passed down family by family that have really sacred connotations to our tribal members, and they're used as decoration or sometimes used as costumes or used inappropriately and in a really disrespectful way. And so the more we can get those things back into the rightful hands, the better. I was on a meeting today, this morning, on about the MIFBA, Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act work that was done this past session. It was part two to the one we did last year possible that ICWA would go away. And so they work, there's a group and led by the county members, lawyers, Rebecca McConkie Green, and so many others, fine tuning this whole piece of legislation and how to manage, you know, foster care and child removal and reunification and getting resources there so that you don't have to remove the children. But one of the things at the end of the meeting that came up was that the counties hold on to a lot of personal items of those children who were removed from their families, whether that's clothing or personal items, letters that were sent to them from the family or them, the children to their families that never got taken. And so I think this is another space that needs to be looked at and ensuring that those very, very precious items, sometimes the last things that those children had to hold on. I mean, I'm just getting really tearful here. But the last thing that those children had to hold on to when they were removed from their families are now sitting in boxes and bags and files. And, you know, it's another way that we have to reckon with the trauma that we inflicted. And when I say we, I'm talking about general government, state, local government, on the tribes and our children. And, you know, it's time to make good on the bad that we did.
Yeah, I agree. And that kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. I want to, you know, give a shout out to the Minnesota Historical Society for one, acting so quickly, and two, bringing this in the forefront. And so people can learn by this and understand that maybe that's not that's been a bad policy or bad way, and they're trying to rectify it. And I see that happening a lot, but it's only happening because of education and having people like you in office talking about this.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have good people in those spaces at the Historical Society. They're really wonderful, and they're looking for ways to make good on the wrongs that were done in the past. You know, if we can start getting resources to the tribes so that they can create spaces to start housing these items that are so important, and bringing it back to their tribal members. You know, that's kind of what's on my mind. I had a distant relative reach out and talk about getting back a teepee that's down in, I believe, Oklahoma, that belonged to one of our ancestors. And so I'm kind of looking around for a place to bring it back to Minnesota. But where can you find a place that can host a huge, you know, a real teepee that can keep it safe in the right environmental, and you know, the humidity, the heat, the way that
sun.
All of those things. And so that's a little project that I hope to work on this summer, but so far I haven't found a place. I don't know if we can build a place, but if we build it, these items will come, I'm pretty sure.
Well, what's interesting too, while you were saying that, is I know that, and I think the lieutenant governor's part of this is that they're changing the grounds to represent the people in Minnesota. It'd be nice to see some kind of indigenous, whether it's the 11 tribes or a generic tribe or a teepee and glassed, encased, representing the people that were here first.
Yeah. We have to find the space. We have to make the space. I would love to have things like that in our Senate building. Our Senate building is a more modern building, very kind of stark and glass and sharp edges. I would love nothing more than to start bringing some of those things out of the History Center over there to put on display, not just for the public, but for all of us to learn about the history of Minnesota. So,
wow, really?
There's always something burning in my brain, like, let's do this, let's do that.
Well, there's something burning in your brain, and my brain's burning, so I don't know what there's that big difference. But I do know the building and been there many times, and wow, I agree. I think we could move over the place where you check in and put it right there as soon as you come in. That's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Well, what do we got here? We got like 50 seconds here. Oh, 30 seconds.
40.
Well, State Senator, I really appreciate you bringing that up. That was some news that I didn't know about, and I really appreciate that. And talking about Trump, and also our thoughts and prayers are for the victim, our police officer here in Minneapolis. And there's the baby.
There's one of my babies here. Rita, Sylvia and I spent some time in Atlanta this weekend. Her mama had a conference. So we've been connected at the hip for a few days.
And she looks like she's loving it. Hey, Native Roots Radio, again, Peeny Geegee State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Learn how to camp, paddle a canoe, mountain bike, fish, and use a bow and arrow with ICANN programs from Minnesota State Parks and Trails. ICANN programs use hands-on instruction from friendly crews to teach families how to explore their state parks and trails in new ways. Gear is provided, and ICANN programs are all free or super affordable. Experience the outdoors with your family or friends. Learn more and reserve your spot at mndnr.gov/ICANN. Stronghearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans and Alaska Natives, offering culturally appropriate support and advocacy. Advocates provide peer support, personalized safety planning, referrals to Native-centered service providers, basic information about health options, and general information about jurisdiction and legal advocacy referrals. Call or text 1-844-762-8483 or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates are available 24/7.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and I learned so much from you and all these years, and you are a founder of Native Roots Radio.
Thanks, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues on the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. So today is Fun Fact Friday. You know, there's been so many memes out there on Facebook, especially right after Trump was found guilty of 34. Was it 38, 39, 42? No, it was 34. Ken.
34 so far.
Yeah, so the memes are going crazy on Facebook. But I figured, you know what? Let me talk about some of the animal memes that are out there. They're really funny. People are really, really very
clever,
right? Clever. You always say that, clever. So here's a cute little meme. I'm going to describe it. It's a car in the woods. And you know those decals in the back of the rearview mirror that show like the family, the mom, the dad, and all the little kids? So there's the decals on the back of the car, and there's two bears looking at the decals, and it says, look, a menu. I know, right? And then there's a cat and a dog sitting on the beach, and they're looking out at the ocean, and it says, I found the key to happiness. Surround yourself with animals and stay away from idiots. I know, there's a lot of cute ones. Some of them I just, I put here, they don't have anything to do with animals. I just thought they were funny. But here, somewhere, a tree sprouted the day you were born. I also like to think that there's a raccoon with the same birthday as me. Hopefully, I find her so we can eat cake in a dumpster.
Okay.
Here's a meme that shows like an older type of like a 1920s person, right? And the roaring 20s. And it says, I never need a mood ring. I have a face. Oh. I like what? To think that's true for me, right?
Yeah, well, it's rusty.
I used to have a mood ring in the 70s.
60s.
I had a mood ring. I wore it all the time. Woodstock Farm Sanctuary. It's here in New York. I thought it was in Woodstock, but it's not. It's Woodstock Farm Sanctuary, and they're located on 2 Rescue Road. High Falls, New York. The next time we're in New York, Robert, and we have a car, I want to go there. It's like about 3 hours north. 3 hours north, and it's Woodstock Farm Sanctuary. It's home to 400 rescued animals. And right now they're open, and you could buy your ticket today for a tour. They have volunteer opportunities. They have all different kinds of events. So I'm looking forward to coming back and driving up north to the Woodstock Farm Sanctuary. Really excited about that. Here's a meme with a girl kissing her dog's head. And it says, whoever said that diamonds are a girl's best friend never owned a dog.
Oh.
Yeah, I
don't think we own a dog.
I know.
We live with a dog.
We're her people. We're her people. We don't say we own Wanda.
Wanda.
Right, Wanda?
Jeez.
We're going for a walk later. It's getting kind of hot out. So we always bring water for her. And I have a little, it's like a backpack, but it has a pouch in it for her. In case she gets hot, I'll just stick her in there and carry her because she just turned, on May 5th, she turned 14.
Not quite a Gemini.
Yeah, so she's slowing down a little bit, so we got to take it easy. We don't want to overheat her. Here's Natalie Portman. I always liked her. I always thought she was a very beautiful woman and also smart. Very good actor and very smart.
She went to an Ivy League college.
She did. Good for her.
Harvard, I think.
Wow. Well, this is what she says. The way we treat animals is powerfully connected to our relationship with the world itself. I like that. Here's a funny meme with a kind of a German Shepherd type cartoon dog, and he has his food bowl dumped over with the food out, and it says, "I can't believe that they tried to hide my medicine and my food. I'm a drug sniffing dog."
That's funny.
I don't have this one.
That's funny.
That is funny, right? There's also ones that like show little dogs and say, you know, my owner tried to pass a half a treat as a whole treat. You know, how dare he, right? But I do that to Wanda all the time. I break her treats in half. And I think about that all the time because that's probably not, you know, what I should be doing. I should be giving her the whole treat. Here's a meme with a big staircase, and at the top of the staircase is a little dog, and it says, "If one day I somehow end up at the stairway to heaven, this is what I imagine it will look like," with a dog at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always think that we have, you know, we'll see people, we'll see animals, we'll see our past pets when we pass on. You know, the other day I was talking about our Minnesota wolves and some fun facts about our gray wolves. So I have a couple of fun facts. You want to hear a couple?
Especially after the Timberwolves loss.
Oh, yeah, that was so sad. Yeah, well, you know what? Listen, they really did well. They played hard, and they got further than they ever have in the past, 20 years?
Yep.
So they really did a good job. They should be very proud. So, you know, it would have been nice if they, you know, won and went on to the championship. But, you know, what do you mean?
It's summer now. We don't need to pay attention.
Yeah.
It's baseball season.
Wolves mate for life.
Mm.
Isn't that a nice fact?
How many teeth do they have?
42 teeth. They have 42 teeth. A litter of wolves is usually 4 to 6 pups, and the pups are born deaf and blind with bright blue eyes. And a pack of wolves can range from 2 to over 30 wolves, but I think that's pretty rare. On average, they run in packs between 5 and 8 wolves. And here's something I didn't know. This is amazing. Wolves can run at 36 to 38 miles an hour.
Kind of like you.
Yeah, right. It's crazy, right? In 2013, there were at least 625 wolves in western Montana. I don't want to read any sad facts today. There are sad facts about wolves, but we're going to be happy today. Wolves have over 2 million scent cells.
Look at this one.
They can hear up to 6 miles away in the forest. Wow. So I guess if they're looking for prey, or they could hear, like, you know, another animal, or
some good music.
Or a person, right? They could hear and they could stay away from trouble. Or helps them hunt. A wolf's jaw has a crushing power of nearly 1,500 pounds per square inch. And a wolf can eat 20 pounds of meat in one meal. And a wolf can swim up to 8 miles. A wolf howl can be heard up to 10 kilometers away.
How far is that?
It's a good question.
Hey, well, Wendy, let's wrap it up here. It's weekend now.
I know, it is.
Hey, well, Pini Gigi, thank you so much.
How many miles is 10 kilometers?
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we kick off Biden's top 100. The week's theme is the economy, and we'll be specifically talking about the billionaires tax. Why don't we tax billionaires more?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.